The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend. Check this.
Welcome one and all to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio or back via the podcast. I hope you are doing well. Coming up later on this evening's show, I'm going to speak with top GAA correspondent Christy O'Connor around the Clare collapse against Donegal at the weekend. And of course, he was at the Westmeath and Derry game. I'll be asking him, are Derry dead men walking? Is time up for Mickey Hart and the Oak Leavers, or is there a kick in them yet? We'll find out next week, certainly, as they face a trip to Castlebar. But first, we'd lined up two men for this show, two battle-hardened midfield juggernauts from back in the day. Used to often play each other in the parks of GAA parks of this country. It was Kieran Whelan and John Gilday. We haven't been able to get Kieran. He's got caught up in a bit of work there. He might be able to join us at some stage, but myself and John will take it up from here. John Gilday, welcome again back to the DL Debate.
Thanks, Brendan. Thanks for having me.
John, not a problem, sir. No, it's a pity. You and Wheelo used to use it a few ding-dongs back in the day, and he was a tough competitor.
Ah, yeah. Listen, back in the day, him and Darragh O'Shea were probably the top two midfielders in their generation. And I suppose when you look at the way the evolution of midfielders has gone, he probably was a prototype for that, because the guy could cover the length of the park. He could kick stores. So a lot of the modern day guys are built on that Kieran Whelan model as such. And he was a handful, to say the least.
He was indeed. John, just, you know, I was talking to you off air about, you know, the game at the weekend. Like, I suppose it takes little analysis. I've seen people complaining about the short amount of coverage it got. But sure, John, what are you going to do in a game like that? John, were you surprised by the manner and the size of the victory? Because I suppose we looked at it in terms of the games that they played against Kerry and Cork, most notably, and we thought, is there something in this Clare team? But Donegal completely destroyed Clare at the weekend, and you know, it was just so one sided. It was unbelievable from the get go.
Yeah, I think it's twofold, Brendan. Obviously, from a Donegal perspective, we got our come to Damascus moment against Cork, and we were caught short. Things didn't go according to plan, and we lost a game that everybody anticipated we were going to win. So that allowed Jim and the team to go away and refocus, look at what they got wrong, and just get back to basics, because, you know, basics won games, and that's very much what Jim built his whole ethos. And so that was one side of the equation. The other side of the equation is then Clare, like ourselves, that have been on a long road as well. They put in big efforts in two games, came up short. They picked up a couple injuries before the game, and just they were in the back foot. So they had the performance we had against Cork, they had against us the last day, and then we came out the blocks very, very well. We kicked up some really good scores early on, and really after 10 minutes, the game was over. And then, as you well know, at the back end of a season, very easy for the heads to go down, very easy for it to run away, and then Donegal tails were up, and then we kept driving at home because obviously we felt that maybe score difference was going to play a big part in it, and you know, we just put their foot on the throat and drove it home. So lots of things going on there, lots of dynamics. Felt sorry for Clare because, you know, it's a lonely place to be wandering around the field and the opposition is really tearing you apart. But from Donegal's perspective, efficient, ruthless, everything that you could possibly want. And if you look at the whole, you know, three-game saga as such, we got everything we possibly could want out of it, including, I think, losing to Cork, which ultimately may be a good thing going forward because, as I said, it allowed the team to refocus and Jim to hammer home some home truths that you can get away with when you're winning, because when you're winning, everything's great. It's only when you lose that you really start going into deep self-reflection, and I think that's good for this team at this stage of its evolution.
Yeah, very interesting points, John. I suppose when you look at the unbeaten run through the league and through the Ulster Championship and beating Tyrone for the second time, that, you know, you do maybe need to face that question. And the fact that we faced it, we lost the game, we still topped the group. So many things have worked out in our favour, you know, our scoring average, you know, if you look at obviously Kerry and Dublin, as we're expecting 39, plus 39 Kerry, plus 31 Dublin. We ended up in plus 29 as well, even losing the game. So that reset, John, now the week off, has it left us in a position now where we can really target a huge performance in a quarter final? Whereas if you had had that prelim and maybe a tough battle with a Mayo or someone, you're in the following week against, you know, another top team. That's such a different path. Now we can really focus in and look ahead to a big, big quarterfinal performance.
No, absolutely. This extra game now that these teams are going to have to come through in the preliminary quarterfinal stage is going to be a big disadvantage. They're going to have to go at it 100 miles an hour. They only have a very short turnaround time to prepare for it. They have no preparation then when they won that game to prepare for the quarterfinal because they're only going to find out who it is on the Monday. And then you're going to pick up injuries, wear and tear. At this stage of the season, given how condensed the calendar is and given how many games have been played over really the last 8 weeks, 8 or 9 weeks, bodies are going to get tired. And there's just fatigue as such. And we've seen that with Donegal's performance against Cork. And that's going to play a huge part into it. And ultimately, we're sitting in a perfect position right now to, you know, look at what's going on around the country. We're going to have a fair idea what teams are going to come through, you know, and then it's luck of the draw. And if the draw falls favourably for you, then you may get what would be classified maybe not as a hard quarterfinal. And then, you know, you're looking down the barrel of a semifinal very quickly. So Everything so far this year has gone for Jim and has gone for the team. And I don't expect anything different to happen over the next couple of weeks. I think they'll be well prepared. You know, they know what they're about. And now we're at the business end of the championship when it's really championship football. There is no tomorrow. Every game is do or die. And that's when it gets really interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, you look at it, John, just before we turn to look at the All-Ireland series, just even the plus points from that performance, John. I know, you know, Stephen Ryan, the Clare goalkeeper, didn't make it. Big Bohannon, who'd be their best midfielder, was suspended, obviously, after sending off against Tyrone. You know, and they obviously lost so many players from last year. So, you know, the fight went out of them very, very quickly, if there ever was any, to be honest, John. But from her side, you know, Kieran Moore went to midfield, you know, again, this lad can play anywhere. I think, you know, everything's possible for him. You know, you're talking about Kieran Whelan, that modern type player. Kieran Moore has shown already in his debut season, he is that modern type player. He fullback, you know, midfield, halfback, you know, wherever he's going to play. Like, he was wing half forward for obviously his club last year. So, you know, his performance again was encouraging, particularly with McGee out. You know, and the word is the McGee injury might be, you know, a bad one, John, in terms of whether he makes it back this season, which is a huge loss, John. But, you know, outside of McGee, you know, whether he makes it back or not, hopefully he does. But, you know, Mark Curran was back in, kicked a point. You know, Ryan McHugh, full of energy and running all over the pitch. You know, Gallen and McBertie, you know, had 1-4 each. McHugh had 1-4 and Gallen had 1-4. There were so many still, like, high energy, good performances in there, John, to take in the pattern again. A couple of brilliant 1-on-1 saves. So even though Clare were poor, I thought the way Donegal applied themselves was very, very, you know, you called it ruthless, you know, it was very, very professionally done, and all the subs came in, added real energy to it as well. So, you know, from that side, we can't ask for anything more from the performance of our lads.
No, they did exactly what they needed to do. And as you rightly pointed out, like, even Conor Donald coming back and getting some minutes and kicking two scores, were all exceptionally positive. Young Moore has been, you know, fine in the season. I think, he's been ultimately the best young footballer of the year in Ireland, if you look around. And he is, first and foremost, he's a phenomenal athlete. He's a big, strong unit. He can really play anywhere. And obviously, Jim has identified that. And his versatility has been a huge advantage from a Donegal perspective. Obviously, Ryan McHugh wouldn't have felt happy with his performance against Cork. And, you know, again, just a yard off the pace, you know, because we come to expect so much from Ryan McHugh. And he was, like, he was at his, you know, best at the weekend as well, bounding forward, scoring points for fun. Gallen, good for confidence, getting the scores. And ultimately, we had scores again from all over the park. Even Mark Curran came up from cornerback and kicked a score. So again, a lot of positives within the context of the game. You know, it was over as a contest very early on. But what I liked about the Cork performance and also the Clare performance was two things. And they were different, the same, but in different types of settings. Against Clare, the game was over. It was very easy to take your foot off the gas, but they kept driving at home. They kept driving at home. And against Cork, when we were 4 or 5 points down, it looked like the game was gone. They did exactly the same thing. They kept going to the very end. Ultimately, we could have got something out of that game. In hindsight, maybe it's a blessing we didn't. But they just don't know when to lie down. They have huge heart. And that obviously comes from the management team down. If you have McGee and McFadden and McGuinness hanging around, you're not going to have an opportunity to lie down, because bad knowledge you face on the football field. Imagine coming in and having to face Neil and Colm and Jim after not giving everything over the course of that hour. So, you know, they're ticking an awful lot of the right boxes. If you look at where we were 12 months ago, and I went up and watched the game against Tyrone, and we had players that give up. 20 minutes into the game, people give up. And this team, no matter what the situation is, and they've proven that against Tyrone the first day in the semi-final, they've proven it against Armagh when they were staring down the barrel of a disaster, because Armagh were on top at that point. They just keep going. They find a way. They're developing from both a physical perspective, they're in great shape, but also mentally, you can see them growing into this. There's a real sense of belief. There's a real sense of purpose. And that's been dictated from the top, but it's very encouraging for the latter stages of the All-Ireland series. And obviously, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, Kerry and Dublin. They're the two big names. They've been there for the last couple of years, but nobody will want to see Donegal coming to them, because they know the level of physicality and fitness and organisation they're going to bring. And I'm really looking forward to seeing Donegal and Croke Park, because I do think the level of fitness and the pace of this team is tailor-made for Croke Park, the space there.
Yeah, that Croke Park thing you're talking about, you look at it, you mentioned Conor Donnelly coming back. Is that going to be a huge thing? You know, he scored a couple of points, direct type running that people don't want to engage. You know, you look at the wide open spaces at Croke Park. I know, like say, Owen Doherty's come on, you know, and Jack McKelvey and players, Aaron Doherty. You know, Jamie Brennan probably not hitting the form in front of goals. He doesn't seem like he's a scoring threat, John, at the minute. You know, maybe just not playing to the peak of his power. So somebody like Conor coming in there, you know, you're looking at games when they open up. If you have him fresh now and chomping at the bit, that could be someone that gets you that vital score later on.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they've all proven time and time again. Jack McKelvey had a huge Ulster final when he came in, Owen Doherty. They're all capable of making an impact. And we know that the way the game has gone right now is that the 15 that finish is as important, if not more important, than the 15 that started. Gone are the days when you didn't get a 1-15 in your back, that you were disappointed. Now these guys are coming on and making major impacts. And Conor O'Donnell is another added string to the bow. And the other thing that he brings, along with Jamie Brennan and Gessica, is huge pace. And you know as well as I do that, you know, playing in Balbuffet and playing in Clonus, the ground's a bit heavier. It is what it is. But when you go into Croke Park and you have ground in front of you and you have pace, that's a frightening prospect for any defence to deal with. And the way that Donegal transition with McHugh, Moore, even McCall, everybody's bursting and they're making huge inways into open ground, and there'll be more open space in Croke Park than there will be anywhere else. So I think, you know, Jim's building this team for that type of Croke Park performance. And hopefully that's what we're going to see over the coming weeks and months.
Yeah. Interesting, John. You know, you look at, you're on about subs and pace. You look at Jack McCaffrey coming on yesterday, first ball, bang over the bar. You know, that list, and you could hear the commentators saying that two Mayo boys tried to chase him. They just couldn't get to him. You know, that pace and that people that come on, you know, Mannion comes on, kicks a point as well. And it was interesting. I was going to ask Kieran about that. You know, when you look at Mayo, John, I thought you're looking at wee points of the game in that match, you know, where, you know, Mannion gets the ball and he's 35 yards out. He's one of the best people in the country putting over the bar. And you see three Mayo defenders run to him after he gets the ball. You know, we're down to critical moments here in the game. And I'm thinking, how come one of them didn't go to him? And then, you know, two of the others could have stayed zonal. You know, you just look at that wee Achilles heel, obviously, Mayo. Don't get me wrong, though, John. It was a fantastic game. And I thought, you know, Hyde Park, 16,000 would have been lost in Croke Park. You know, it made for a brilliant tussle between. It was great to see Mayo put it up, and Dublin looked a wee bit ordinary at times in that match. You know, you think about we keep thinking that Kerry and Dublin are so far ahead now. I know that's the bit of Croke Park syndrome in there as well, but certainly yesterday they were there to be beaten, and Mayo had them beaten. 24 seconds, John's all they had to do. Cluxon goes long with a kick out, which he never does. Kieran Kilkenny, you know, wins it, and you're like, you know, they, somehow again, they found a way not to be beat anyway.
Yeah, but good teams, that's what they do. You know, it's a really sign of a good team that when you are beat, that you're never beaten. This Dublin team's never beat. And they found a way of digging out a result and got them through to the quarterfinals. You know, again, that Dublin team is built purely on pace. They have pace coming from everybody. Everybody's a forward. Everybody's a defender. And that's the way the game is right now. And you're going to have to match that intensity. And I think from a Donegal perspective, we have the ability to do that. Maybe I'm going to be proven wrong. I haven't seen anything from Kerry this year that makes me overly concerned about them. I think they lack a bit of pace. I think they're very, maybe one dimensional when it comes to their attacking play because it's very much Clifford focus. So someday somebody's going to figure that out and shut it down. But I think it's a very wide open championship. If you look at the game yesterday,
Do you not think Dublin and Kerry are a good step ahead now?
No, I genuinely don't believe it. I think that Dublin, that current Dublin team is a shadow of the team that was there 6 or 7 years ago. They don't frighten me. Well, it's easy for me not to be frightened because I'm not playing. But
bring it on, John Galay, bring it.
they just don't have a lot of their senior players are getting a little bit older. They're not the same impactful players that they were. Fenton was shut down for a lot of the game yesterday. They're still dependent on the old war horses like Jack McCafferty and McCarthy to come on and dig them out of a hole. And that's going to get harder and harder on big days in Croke Park. And Kerry, as I said, are very Clifford-centric. If he doesn't perform, then they have problems. I think they've holes in defence. I think looking at the game yesterday, Galway really should have put Armagh away. Armagh hung in there. Armagh are going to give people problems. So if I was looking at the championship right now, obviously you have Kerry and Dublin as the top two because rightly so, they were last year's All-Ireland final and they're unbeaten so far. And then you have, you know, Mayo, Donegal, Galway, Armagh just behind that. And if you're talking to Tyrone people, you know, never wanting in confidence, they'll feel that maybe they can dig out a result or two as well. So I think there's a top two, but they're not as far ahead as everybody thinks they are. And I think, you know, any one of those three teams that I mentioned, Armagh are going to give the fill to anybody. That Mayo proved yesterday that they have the athleticism and football ability to take the dubs on. Kerry haven't played anybody this year of note, so we don't know where they're at. And then obviously Donegal. And with Donegal, with where they are right now, confidence is high. You have the Jim McGuinness factor. They'll be structurally and from an organizational point of view, no matter who they play, they'll have a plan. And, you know, it's anybody's game at this point, from my point of view.
Yeah. And John, listen, I'm interested to get your views on that. Just on, you mentioned there, you know, Mayo and Dublin. Did Dr. Hyde Park cause that? If you look at that game, you know, Donoghue McHugh went to Fenton, really, you know, took him out of the game. More or less, you know, he had very little. It was one of his quieter games, and smaller man just basically horsed him. You know, late on, John, I was just looking at Hesham, some of his decisions, you know. I thought for one, anyway, Fenton was mauled and he gave a free out the other way. The 45, obviously, with the umpire standing there, obviously was a wide ball. They got the 45 and it was planted over. Even O'Donoghue's last foul. I was just thinking, John, do you think even in Croke Park, those decisions being out of Croke Park kind of goes with, I know Mayo weren't at home, it was a neutral ground, but it kind of was at the Hyde. Do you think those decisions even, you know, we're talking about Croke Park and the pitch and all that, but do you think refereeing maybe goes against the team then that's out of that patch? And it certainly seemed to all fall Mayo's way in those closing stages.
Well, I think it is. Like, referees are human like everybody else. They're going to be influenced by the surroundings. So, like, the difference in that game yesterday down in Hyde Park, you know, Fenton got mauled, and he was mauled. It was a free. It was at a crucial stage. If that was in Croke Park, you have 60,000 dubs raise the roof. There's a huge burst of sound and energy, and referees react to that. They go, oh, something happened there. And it's very easy to blow the whistle because it's the easiest thing in the world to do. So I do think bringing the dubs out of Croke Park, A, is good for the game. as you rightly pointed out, 17,000 people in Croke Park yesterday. The game would have been vacuous. There'd have been no atmosphere, and we wouldn't have got the game we had in Hyde Park. So bringing the Dubs out of Croke Park is good. Also, Dublin supporters are very good because they travel well, and they're really good supporters, and they bring a lot of colour and a lot of atmosphere with them. So I think that was very positive. And I think ultimately Dublin will benefit from that as well, because ultimately this is the first game that Dublin have been put to the pin of their collar as well. This is the first day that they've actually found out where they are. And all the training in the world and is great, and you can think the intensity there. But there's nothing like a do-or-die match where everything's on the line coming down the straight in the last 5 minutes to find out exactly where you are. So I think this game is hugely beneficial from Dublin. But I do agree with you. Dublin and Croke Park, everything's influenced by the crowd, by the noise, by the atmosphere. And the Dubs obviously have huge crowds at those big, big games, the quarterfinals, semifinals and finals where they normally are. And I think Mayo benefited from that yesterday, but I think the GAA in general benefited from me yesterday because it was a great spectacle, it was a great game, and it was a great advertisement for the GAA as a whole.
Yeah. Mayo on the way back. Well, they're facing the Derrymen next. I think they'll have too much for them. John Louth, Cork, very hard to call. I think Tyrone will beat Roscommon, and Galway will beat Monaghan. John, tell me now, is this setting up for a Tyrone Donegal Mark III? I mean, we don't want that. See, they probably don't want it either. Listen, what can we do? But can you see that being an outcome that comes down the tracks? I mean, I don't know if it's happened before. A team has played another team three times in the same championship.
Well, I'm going the other way. I'm having my fingers and toes crossed. And again, I mean this respectfully to the Louth and Cork people, but I would love to see us playing Cork or Louth, just for obvious reasons. And I think the way this season's set up, that's as likely to happen or as not. I suppose the draw is a draw. It's going to be what it's going to be. Mm. We have no idea. You know, we wouldn't fear Tyrone. I don't think we'd fear Tyrone. You know, the other side, who've you got? You have Mayo probably going to come through. I would imagine they'll beat Derry. And then you have Monaghan are playing Galway.
Galway is home.
Yeah, so you'd expect Mayo, Galway, Cork, I would suggest, and
I think that Louth game's very hard to call. I know that Kerry obliterated and that can happen against Kerry, but listen, Louth are well set up. You know, they're obviously there's nothing between the two of them, you know, kind of, I think, in their standings. Yeah, I think we get a funny read sometimes because we played poorly against Cork and they played well. You know, we were buzzing about them then. Tyrone obviously controlled them yesterday. So they're still work in progress, I think. I think that's the hard one to call. Either team, listen, at Croke Park, you would fancy. You know, I think Mayo, big energy from that. Galway, you know, obviously injuries, you know, Fanady, Comer and these guys, you know, hard to do without, but they still, John, like they did in the league, you know, they have a solid defence and, you know, they had that game. They had Armagh beaten, you know, in that game yesterday. So I think Galway will be tough for anybody at Croke Park, as will Mayo, because they have that physical element. I think the winners of the other two games, I'd be happier, even if that end up being Tyrone, to be honest. That, you know, as much as familiarity, contempt in three games, I still would fancy them at Croke Park.
No, I agree. I think we have more about us right now. And the thing about Mayo is we don't have a good record against Mayo over the last, apart from the All Ireland, over the last 10 years, we have a poor record against Mayo.
Apart from that,
and the other thing is, that we gave. And ultimately, if you're a Mayo person, you would think that's the game that they let slip because the game was over after 7 minutes. They never got a chance to go at it properly at all. Not that it mattered from our point of view. But the other thing about Mayo and Croke Park, and assuming they get there, Mayo bring a madness, an unpredictability that makes them incredibly enjoyable to watch. And like they're great from a spectator point of view, but they must be a nightmare from a management perspective to try to plan against them, because I don't think they know what they're doing half the time. Mm-hmm. Like it's a real kind of throwback where it's full, you know, 100% high octane stuff. And that's why they give the Dubs so much bother, because the Dubs are very much a controlled, structured team. They grind you down, and you don't get that opportunity with Mayo. And even Galway now are falling into that trap as well. They're very much Armagh in the sense that they're very structured, they're very organised. They have some, obviously, magic dust sprinkled around the place in the form of Walsh and Finnerty and guys like that. and then there'll be a handful because they're athletic as well. I really like that number five.
Yeah.
So, but if you were a betting man right now and you looked at Galway, Armagh, Mayo, Donegal, Dublin and Kerry, on any given day, any one of those teams can beat one another. And I'm excluding Tyrone there, and maybe I'm doing them a disservice, but if you look at those teams that I just mentioned, on a one-off shootout in Croke Park, it's a toss of a coin, because any one of those teams have the ability, have the personnel, have the athleticism, and have the structure to beat any one of the other teams there. And I think that's why it's going to make for a very exciting, you know, quarterfinal scenario, because there's going to be some great games in those quarterfinals.
John, brilliant. Interesting games ahead, surely. Thanks so much for wrapping all that up as ever. Mighty stuff there, John Gilday. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Ben. Look after yourself. Thanks very much.
Always good to catch up with John. Hey, running across the season so far, looking ahead to the quarterfinals as well. Coming up after the break, I'll be speaking with Christy O'Connor.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. Serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Yes, now I'm joined by freelance sports writer and ghost writer. And actually, he's a quiz book writer as well. It is my main man, Christy O'Connor. What's the crack, sir?
Hey, Brendan. How's things? Great to be on.
Good man, Christy. I know you do so many things for so many people and writing columns and articles. You're a busy man in the GAA world, of course, a coach as well in hurling.
Yeah. Heavily involved in the club now at the moment, running my own club, St. Joseph's Door Bearfield, just outside Ennis. So, coaching minors, coaching under 13s, under 20s, 21s later in the year. So, yeah, minor championship is starting now on Wednesday week. The Clare Minors, unfortunately, were beaten yesterday. We two lads on that squad, both of them played yesterday. So if they'd won, I suppose the championship would have been pushed back by a week. So we're starting now on Wednesday week. So we have a challenge game again tonight against a team from Tipperary. So all go this time of the year, Brendan, but all good too.
And you're obviously, Christy, you're very much invested in both games. You were covering the Derry game yesterday against Westmeath. We'll come to that. It'll be interesting to get your views on the Dairymen. I don't want to call the soap operas unfairly a football team, but I mean, the amount of stuff's going on. But we'll get to them now in a minute. Christy, first of all, Donegal were going down to Castlebar to play a Clare side that had competed with a lot of top teams this season. And me and yourself have spoke over and back about the challenges of Clare this year in terms of the 10 players that left the squad, retired, went travelling, various things happened. And then, going into the division, nothing was expected, and they were, a point away from possible promotion. And then obviously got the Munster final, competed well with Kerry, same with Cork. Cork had that late opportunity, or Clare had that late opportunity to equalise against Cork. So Donegal will go down thinking, Clare could maybe give them a game. And I know obviously a couple of injuries, the goalkeeper and Big Bohannon out in midfield, but Christy, can you give us a bit of background to what happened in that performance? Because it was an absolute annihilation by Donegal.
Yeah, look, at it. It's just a terrible way for the season to end for that group, Brendan. Given what they had done this year, because as you said, look, 12 of the squad had, left after last year's championship, right? And like, you're not talking about, 12, panel players. You're talking about some of the best players that have played for Clare in the last, 20 years, you could say, like guys like Owen Cleary, Jamie McMahon, Keelan Sexton, Podge Collins, Kieran Russell, Carl O'Connor. That's just to name some. To compete pretty well, very well, really, in the Munster final against Kerry, that was even a huge occasion for the county, Brendan, to have. It was the first Munster final in Cusick Park in over 100 years. They were never going to beat Kerry, but I think, you were looking for a performance. A lot of respectability. There was a lot in that. And look, I think I was at the Cork, the first round robin game in Ennis, right? And, Clare were, they had a lot of chances that night, Brendan. I think really the game turned on, I think Cork had about 7 or 8 turnovers in, when Clare were in a really attacking, penetrating position. And Cork, got a couple of scores off those turnovers. Brian McNamara had a goal chance late on. And look, really, for Clare, Brendan, to have any chance, you have your home game. It's against Cork, a team they have, a good track record against, who they've beaten in the championship last year. you know, look, there's your chance, really, you know, for a county like Clare, you know, for like a lot of counties in this, in St Mungar, you know, you win one game, you're through. Like, even for Westmeath on Saturday night, Westmeath haven't won a game since the league, Division 3 league final in March, and a draw on Saturday night would have put them through. They were a point down with, you know, 10 minutes to go. So, like, really, I think psychologically, Brendan, I think that night losing to Cork, you have to go to Omagh to take on Tyrone, then you have to go to Castlebar to take on a Donegal team who were after, you know, getting shocked by losing to Cork, down in Cork. We're always going to come out, you know, looking to maybe, you know, polish it up on scoring difference, clear down a couple of players. And look, it was just a complete collapse. But look, Donegal are just on another level, even in terms of the S&C base, Brendan. You know, you look at how far down the line a lot of those Donegal lads are. Like, the average age of this Clare team is 23. I think 9 of the players who played, possibly 10 who played on Saturday, didn't play a championship last year, right? Now, a lot of those lads have played championship sporadically over the years, but they don't have that base or that, I suppose, level of experience that the Donegal lads have. You know, you're going up there, you're taking on a team who you know are probably looking to do a number on you with the score and difference scenario. And look, it was just a collapse. Like, sure, you're like, how long did it take Clare to get a score on the board? You know, look, I think it's just a shame considering how well Clare had done this year, because, like, after losing all those players, Brendan, there was a sense in Clare, you know, you're going into Division 3. There was a kind of a feeling, well, look, let's hope we stay out of Division 4. Like, they went into their last game against Down, still in with a chance of promotion. So, you know, there was an awful lot of positives to the season. But really, it's just a shame. And look, at the end of the day, Brendan, Donegal are a team that are in the mix for not Ireland. Like, Clare are a team that didn't get out of Division 3. So there has to be some degree of reality applied to the result, even from a Donegal perspective.
Aye. No, not all Ireland talk on here. We'll not have it yet, Chris.
We talk about it down here, Brendan.
Funny, actually, Clare actually got the first point in that game, which was one of those strange things in terms of, you know.
I meant to say, but you're right.
Chrissy, not that it mattered, but Chrissy, was there a wee bit of a problem around Tyrone? A couple of players were supposed to travel and the county board didn't want them. I heard that in the background. Maybe it's nothing, but I know what you're saying about the golfing class and that, but obviously Clare had bridged that in a couple of games, particularly against Kerry and Cork. They bridged it to a point where they were a wee bit competitive. Like, it looked like to me, Christy, that it was just from day one, you know, Clare were, there was no intensity from their play at all. Donegal were just thrown through them. It looked like there was maybe something else in the background, or I don't know, did you hear anything, or is there anything to be read into in that?
No, well, what I would say, Brendan, about the Cork and Kerry scenario, like, it's almost like Donegal playing Tyrone or playing Armagh. Like, they're used to playing those teams, know a lot about them, right? So from a Cork perspective, like there was a feeling in Clare, you know, like last year was the first time Clare got to a Munster final in 10 years, Brendan, right? So there was a feeling there for like 4 or 5 years before that, that Clare were the second best team in Munster. Like they felt, if you look at their league results against Cork, you know, they were consistently beating Cork, you know, drawn with Cork. Like, they beat Cork in the championship last April when Clare had to win. Like, Clare had been relegated to Division 3. So they had to get to a Munster final to, you know, to get into the St Mungar. You know, they beat Cork that day, you know, in a really tight game. So, like, Kerry, from the same perspective, okay, Clare, you know, they're not at the same level as Kerry, but, like, they're well used to playing Kerry, Brendan. Like, you know, a lot of these guys as well, like, if you look at that Clare team, right, like, was it five of that side, Emmett McMahon, Kieran Downs, Daniel Walsh, Ike Maguero, Aaron Griffin, had started the 2023 Sigurdsson final, which UCL lost to UCC after extra time, right? Like, you know, McNamara came on in that game, right? Like, McMahon captained that side. So, like, there are a lot of good young players, right? But they're still, and if you even look at from a Sigurdsson scenario, like, you'd never have had that many Clare players, you know, featured for a top Sigurdsson side in the past. Like, even Gary Brennan said that. Like, Gary was in UL and didn't really even feature for UL. Like, this is one of the best players Clare have ever produced. And he said that he even felt that when he was in UL that they were always looking to the bigger counties for their players. So that's, I suppose, an indicator of how good some of these young players are. But, like, you still can't just transplant a raft of young players into a team when you lose that much experience. Like, 12 of your, like, was it 11 of those guys that played in the Munster final last year. Like, you're not talking about you know, a Galway or a Kerry or a Dublin or a Donegal here. You're talking about Clare, which, let's be honest about it, Brendan, is a dual county, primarily strongest tradition is in hurling, right? You could nearly draw a line down through Clare for a lot of how the football territory is governed. Like, and half of West Clare has been wiped out with immigration. So, like, it's been really, like, there's no other dual county, really. You know, when you look at a lot of the strong dual counties, look at Cork, for example. Like, Cork have, there's more football clubs in Cork, Brendan, than there is in the whole of Munster. Like, there's nearly, I think there's more clubs in total in Cork. There's something like 30 more clubs in the whole of Cork than there is in the whole of Connacht. So, like, Clare can't expect to compete with that level of, you know, I suppose, quality players. And they still are competing with Cork. But, like, to try and compete then with a team like Donegal, Tyrone. And I think psychologically, Brendan, after the losing the Cork in the first game, like, I think psychologically guys are switching off. They're probably saying deep down, it's a great chance for us to go up and take on the likes of Tyrone and Donegal. But are they going to beat them? Like, it's a bit like the Offaly Hurlers on Saturday. Like, they were never going to beat, like, Cork. Like, two of their players, their young players, went off on holidays. Colin Spain, Adam Screeny. There was a lot of heat about, well, why did those guys go? Like, those guys have, like, Screeny has won an All-Ireland Freshers Hurling this year. He won a county title with Kilorm and Killahi last year. They got to the Leinster final. You know, he's won an All-Ireland under 20. He's won a Joe McDonagh. Like, what more could he do? Like, you know, Offaly weren't going to beat Cork. Like, Clare weren't going to beat Tyrone or Donegal. And that's not being negative. That's just being realistic. So, like, how much are guys checking out psychologically? I think that's probably one of the main reasons you probably saw what you did, Brendan.
Yeah. And up at that point, as you said, it was a remarkable story in terms of dealing with all the players. Fitzgerald stay on, will he?
Look, I think the players are very happy with him. He's in his first season. You know, look at what he did. He got the team to Munster final. You could argue, look at, they were on the handy side of the draw. Like, Waterford beat Tip, Clare beat Waterford. You know, when you look at how the route Donegal had to take to get to an Ulster final, like, it just, I suppose, underlines a lot of what's wrong with the current system, Brendan. Yeah. But
do you think, Christy, like, then, I mean, if Cork and Kerry end up in the same side of the draw, do you think it's fair that, you know, I mean, Clare could have had a bit of a go at the Tailteam? I mean, that's definitely, I mean, that's more where they should have been playing. Do you think it's fair, that scenario, then, that someone's going to end up in the All-Ireland Series, which it's maybe not going to do any good for them?
Well, look, go back to the Division 3 final, right? Like, you know, I covered that game. Like, you could see how much that game meant to both teams, Brendan, because really, the losers were going to struggle to get into the Sam Maguire, you know, because one of the three teams are on the other side of the draw, Munster, Clare, Tip, Waterford, were outside Division 3, or were outside Division 2. So they were, those teams was going to get, you know, a passage into the Sam Maguire. So for Down, like, Down knew then that they had to get to an Ulster final. You know, and look, it nearly did it. You know, lost to Armagh by a point. But, like, I think, go back to what we spoke about a second ago with the system. Like 16 teams went into the final round the weekend, Brendan. Everyone is still in contention. Now, you could argue that the reason that they have the three out of four is to, you know, to prevent those dead rubbers, and that, you know, every team is in the mix in the last round. Like, but if you go back to the last 2 years, like, Clare were actually gone last year before the last round. They were the only team in the last two seasons that effectively had nothing to play for in the last round. Like, is that right, Brendan? Like, I don't know. You tell me. Like, okay, you have the last round is really competitive because everybody has something to play for. Like, even from a Derry perspective, like, Derry knew that a draw wouldn't have even been enough for them on Saturday night. Like, but is that good enough? Like, look at the blowout, the Armagh Derry blowout. Like, I don't know. Like, you can't really lose three times, and I don't think you can lose three times and still deserve to be in the championship, which a couple of teams are. You know?
Yeah. Really, are those teams going anywhere at that point? But no, there is an argument for all that. It's kind of hard to perfect the situation. The only thing is that if it's a two-team scenario in the group, then you're going to have so many dead rubber games, which then you have a team thrown in the towel against a team that maybe is trying to get in the second spot, say, and it unfairly then unhinges it. I think it's better this way, even though people do complain a bit about it. I think if a team's scrapping like that in the last game, if they do get through, you know, it would be unusual, and I'd say that'll be their second last game, put it like that, you know. But a team that is scrapping, Christy, is the Derry lads. And, you know, I had coffee with Peter Canavan there on Friday. We were shooting the breeze, saying, you know, the joke obviously about planting Mickey Hart on to destroy Derry. Obviously, it's a joke, Christy, but listen, it's one that's coming to fruition after a brilliant spring. The Derry lads, I was in a Darmag game, you know, the energy had gone, their whole team set up and play. A few injuries, a couple of people suspended, etc. But outside of that, as a team, you know, Armagh were just running through them at ease. They could have had 7 or 8 goals. But what did you make of their victory over Westmeath yesterday?
Well, look at Brendan. I think for a start, right, it was nothing to do. It was never about the performance. It was all about the result. Okay. So, like, and the other thing as well is this was something that maybe some people didn't pick up on, like, but like they didn't, Derry didn't have 26 fit players. Like, they had a couple of lads that were, you know, like, stayed injured, right? So that, like, that's the second game in a row, Brendan, that's happened, right? Where, you know, like, it just goes to show you how much under pressure they are, how decimated by injuries they have been. But look, they're still, it's their first championship win of the season. Like, they're playing a team, I said, who haven't won a game since the Division 3 league final in March, right? Like, you know, the brutal reality of it is Westmeath just don't have scoring power to trouble the teams above their level, right? Like, Derry's conversion rate was 39%, and it was still enough to win by 4 points, right? But the reality of it is for Derry, like, they still haven't arrested their chronic collapse in form, right? And I suppose nobody kind of underlines that, I suppose, search for that missing something more than Shane McGuigan. Like, this is the guy who you arguably was the best player in the country last year, the best forward in the country, along with Clifford, right? And failed to convert any of his 4 shots in play. Like, there was a close in free in the second half, Brendan, that he barely got over the bar, right? Yeah. So, you know, this was always going to be a struggle for Derry, right? And, like, you know, initially they were so focused on protecting the ball. Like, they only 4 shots in the first quarter. Like, you know, like even they conceded 9 goals in the 3 previous games. And, like, you could see early on that they were mindful of being defensively compact. But, like, Westmeath still had double the amount of shots than them in that first quarter. Westmeath could have had a goal. Like, there was a much more of a swagger about Westmeath early on in the game. Like, Ronan O'Toole nailed 3 of his 4 shots in the first half. Like, Derry dropped 4 short. But, like, you could see that Derry were starting to get more on top as the half progressed. And look, I suppose the most pleasing thing for them, right, was the 2 goals, Brendan, were, I suppose, you know, reflective of what had made Derry such a force earlier in the year and last year. Like, you know, penetrating runs from deep, slick hands, quick ball transition, devastating finishes. And look, at the 2 goals were ultimately the difference. Because, you know, both created as well by Dermot Baker, who had an excellent game, I thought. So look, at they have to go to Mayo now on Saturday. Like, from a Derry perspective, Brendan, like, this is their first championship win of the season. Like, you know, they were desperately craving that feeling again. Like, how long more are they going to stay alive? Like, who knows, right? But I suppose for them this week, you know, the positive is they've got a win. They've dug themselves out of a tricky situation. Will it be enough going to Castlebar? Like, it shouldn't be on current form. Like, but, like, you know, Mayo expended a lot of energy, mental and physical yesterday. You know, Mayo were going for that win to try and, you know, get into the quarterfinal, give themselves an extra week's break. So, like, you don't know how much of an impact that is going to have on Mayo either, because look at all the pressure now, Brendan, is on Mayo. There's no real pressure on Derry, because everybody's expecting their season to end. Like, so.
Did you see enough from them, though, to say that they've got a wee bit of bite back? You know, I mean, what I seen that day in Celtic Park, I thought, right, that team's gone. But, you know, I mean, stranger things have happened. It just looks like, because when you put everything into the early part of the season and you're playing at pretty much close to your peak, you know, you can't sustain it. And when it drops in, it's so hard to get back. I mean, your example of McGuigan there is a perfect example of that. And then that has impacts through the team, injuries, you know, you've things like, you know, discipline, a couple of players getting sent off, which hadn't happened previous. So all the rhetoric then, I mean, for Derry, they were an up and up since Division 4, really. It was all plus, plus, plus. It was getting better and better you know, your Ulsters, your league titles. This is, you know, it's come down with such a bang. You know, the repercussions, you said players are only human, you know. Mickey Hart's come out and said, you know, in the paper today, you know, no one's listening to any outside noise, but that outside noise, it's coming in speaker form now. It's hard to avoid, Christy. And I'm sure, listen, how do you turn that team around to Mayo now? I think I'll get a big lift off the fact that draw with Dublin, they should have beat them. And, you know, they'll be gunning for a return to Croke Park. You know, that's a difficult one for Derry.
100%, Brendan. And look at the numbers, like, we say 7 scores from play, like 39% conversion rate. Like, they're not numbers that will trouble the top teams, right? And, like, can you suddenly rediscover that level of form? Like Shane McGuigan just doesn't look like the player, nowhere near the player he was. Like 2 frees the last day. You know, like, there's a lot of other guys that are, you know, nowhere near the form that they had. And look at, this is something I suppose that Mickey has to, you know, I suppose a lot of the heat that's come on him, right? You know, it's easy to reflect back to that first league game, you know, back in January against Kerry when, you know, he got the Glen lads to go down to Kerry. And look, I know he can argue that, look, they wanted to get points on the board. They wanted to get safe, get a bit of traction under Mickey. And then he gave the Glen lads a break later. Like, but all of this stuff gets put under the microscope. And I think, look, the biggest criticism of Derry, Brendan, was, you know, go back to the Donegal game, the Armagh game, like what had, you know, spectacularly failed, they were still continuing to do. You know, like, they were still continuing to gamble on the kick out. They were still continuing to press. They were getting caught repeatedly. And you were saying, like, how can a team with this level of experience, with this level of know-how, with a management, with their experience, allow this to happen when, you know, even the casual observer can see that it's not working. So I think, look at, you know yourself, Brendan, when you're losing, everything else gets inflated double, right? That, you know, you'll hear rumours. Like McFaul came out with his GAA Go interview and he said, like, look at, they were still best friends. Or, you know, you don't know what's going on in the camp. Nobody knows what's going on in any camp, Brendan, right? Yes. But you can see that they've lost. And they're desperately trying to get it back. And look, can you rediscover that, what they've had, you know, that quickly, like on the back of a performance against a Westmeath team, who, as I said, you know, have been competitive, but just can't score enough. Like, you know, they got 9 scores the last day. They just don't have the scoring power to trouble the top teams. And with 10 minutes to go, Westmeath are a point down. It looked to have all the momentum at the right time. And it was just the goal from Emma Bradley that kind of almost got Derry over the line.
All right, because, you know, we were listening to the radio on the way back, actually, and it was, you know, it was in the melting pot at that time, as you said, the goal unhinged it. But, Christy, listen, phenomenal. Chris, I'd love to get you on sometime to talk about these new rules and 3 men inside and 2 points for squads out of 40 and all other things. 5,000 survey responses. Jim Gavin's, there's going to have to be a weekend of debating going on around these new rules. Christy, we'll get you on someday to talk about them now soon if you have a few minutes.
Be a pleasure, Brendan.
Christy O'Connor, top man as ever. I'll be speaking to you as the season goes on. I want to thank Kenneth here for producing, Joe Dex as well, head of sport, Oisin Kelly. To all my guests, thanks very much for listening. As already done all that, you can relax this week and wait for the quarterfinals. We'll be doing a preview of that next Monday. I'll speak to you then. Check this. Up, 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 up